The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
We worship because we are worshiping God. When we are thinking of the songs to choose during worship, we are not thinking of the songs that will charge the atmosphere. We are thinking of the songs that He wants us to sing at this point. Are you following me now? That's all that matters. What does He want to hear? Because you are not the worshipped. You are the worshipper. And it is the worship that determines the object or the sacrifice of the worship. He told Abraham, "Don't harm your son. I've provided a lamb." So at that moment, he wanted Abraham to worship him with the lamb he had provided. Because when we come to worship, He chooses the songs. Are you following me? So that's why if we begin to sing a song, maybe in a certain dialect that you don't know, or we're singing a song you don't understand, don't pick offense. That is what He wants to hear at that point. Because you are not the focus. People make it look like the church is the focus during worship. No. Church is not the focus. They sing songs that people know. Sing songs they will dance. That's not correct. Sing songs that God wants us to sing at this point. It is when we worship Him, how He wants to be worshipped, that atmosphere we're even looking for eventually comes. Because it's in that place of fellowship and communion. Why am I saying this? When we are worshiping God in songs, put your heart to it. Put your heart to it. Don't think we are waiting for the word to come. Put your heart to it. Are you following me? And sing. And then, like I've always taught you, don't listen to worship songs. Sing them. Listening to worship songs does nothing to you. Maybe it just excites your heart. But you really want to participate. Worship God. Don't listen to people worshiping God. You be the worshiper too. Participate in the worship. Sing with us. Lift your hands. I've taught you here. That's why when I sing, if I lead you to sing, there must be times that I interrupt the music and ask you to sing. The reason is I want to be sure that you are singing. I want to be sure I'm not listening to the instruments play. Are you following me? Because we have to be very careful. You know, we are in a generation where everything can be digitalized. Is that what I'm going to use? So we cannot be playing instrument and enjoying ourselves. We must be sure we are worshiping. Just like prayer. There are people today that cannot pray if there is no keyboard in the background. Playing a certain sound, making them act in funny ways. That's not prayer. You are able to pray for 3 hours without keyboard. That same way, you'll be able to sing for 1 hour, 2 hours without help of instrument. Because it's not about how you feel, it's about who you are worshipping. That's why there are people that cannot have quality worship time in their house because there's no keyboard. They can't have quality prayer time. So when we are worshipping, don't focus on what is. Of course, they should play. What their job and the job of the choir here is to help us worship better. Not for it to sound good. Just to help us because we are humans. Right? And there are certain sounds that should be played anyway. If you read the book of Psalms, there are psalms that David will write. He will say this psalm should be sung, should be played on a string instrument. There are things like that. Are you following me? But make sure you are lending your voice in our worship. Make sure you are lending your voice when we are praying. Make sure you are lending your voice when we are rejoicing. Don't just be a spectator in God's house. Be a participator. Amen. Somewhere next week in this meeting, we're going to have a Holy Ghost meeting. Now we're having a Holy Ghost meeting, but we're going to have a full-blown Holy Ghost meeting. At least 2 days within next week. We are rounding up already. Some of the one thing is going to be a Holy Ghost and a believers meeting. One of the things I always teach is in such meetings, participate. Don't just look around. If you look around, you will just have experiences to tell. That is people's experience. Are you following me, friends? But when you worship and you sing with us and you dance with us and you rejoice with us and you speak with us, then you have the result that we all have. That's what we call the corporate flow. I've taught you, Abby. The corporate anointing. That corporate anointing becomes your reality and your portion if you are doing what all of us are corporately doing at the same time. If, for instance, let me give you a perfect example. If God wants to give all of us a corporate vision now, and we gather, and all of us are praying at the same time, then it will come to people who are praying. In the upper room, there were 120 people, right? But remember I taught you, you know that was a corporate flow they had there. All of them received the Holy Ghost. But do you know, they were not the only people in that environment. There were at least 3,000 people there, extra. How do we know? When Peter preached, 3,000 people got saved. So they were present, but they didn't participate. They didn't benefit. Because when the rest were doing some things corporately, they were praying corporately, they were watching. Are you following what I'm saying now? That's why if you want to participate in the corporate flow, whatever we're doing corporately, do with us. That's one of the major ways to participate in a service. If all of us lie down now, please lie down. If all of us begin to jump up, because that, have you ever been to a meeting? It happens here sometimes. It's like everybody is just, nobody said it, but everybody is just inspired to do the same thing. Half of the congregation. Everybody just starts shouting at the same time. Or starts running. What happens? You to start running. Start shouting. That is participating in the corporate flow. Because that is what, there is no way half of the church or three quarters of the church can think up something at the same time. It means all of them are inspired by the Spirit to do that at the same time. That is also the inspiration of the Spirit to you in that meeting. That's the way to participate in Christian meetings. So if all of us begin to lift our hands, you lift your hands too. I've shared that story with you. One of God that mentored us many years ago said they were praying in a meeting one night. It wasn't a big meeting, but a meeting about 10 or 12 persons just praying all night. Somewhere in the middle of the night, of course, people were sleeping one by one. At the time, there were about four or five that were awake in the meeting, and Jesus came into that meeting. He has always been there, but he came physically. And he appeared to all that were awake, the five of them that were still awake. He immediately, the same time, all of them saw him. All of them were shouting and screaming at the same time. He was speaking to them differently. It was an experience that marked our ministry. But the other person that was asleep in that meeting missed it. Now, that's not just because they were sleeping. Even if there was somebody in that meeting who, when they were praying, he was busy pressing his phone, he would still miss it. But the issue is not sleep. The issue is that you're not participating in the corporate flow. Are you what I'm talking about? Yeah, that's the truth. He would still miss it. So by the time Jesus left, the other people now woke up. Say, yeah. But they were now doing thank you, Jesus, glory to God, bowing their heads, shouting, all of that. People now say, hey, hey, Gabba Shabbat. I say, oh God, no, don't pray, that's past. So that is corporate flows. You must learn how to benefit from it. If all of us are singing, then sing with us. Singing is not an opportunity to get set for the message. If I'm teaching now, and everybody's writing, write with us. That is what the Spirit wants us to do at this point. Take notes with us. I get to the point. If we are declaring, declare with us at this point. That's what the Spirit wants us to do at this point. Like now, you are listening to me. Listen to me. This is the move of the Spirit now. Anything outside that is your flesh. Are you following me, friends? Anything outside that is your flesh. Anything outside that is your flesh. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you. Ready for the word? Ready for the word?
Yes,
sir. Today is day 21. So we've done 3 weeks. Is that beautiful?
Yes, sir.
See, can move so quickly. You know how we're going to end this meeting, right?
Yes, sir.
How? Yes, 24 hours prayer chain. Say amen.
Amen.
It won't be hard. Don't break your head. Was it hard last year? It won't be hard. So you won't pray the whole 24 hours. You pray at least 4. Is that okay? But I know that my people that pressed into 12 hours last year. And that was good. Some pushed to 10, to 12, to 14. That is good. Take the opportunity. It doesn't come all the time. Are you getting the point? It doesn't come all the time. So I'm just preparing your heart. So it's not that they say they didn't tell you, they didn't told me. I'm telling you now. Prepare your heart for it. Praise God. Amen. Ready for the word again?
Yes, sir.
Hallelujah. Have your seat. Good morning. Abby? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Okay, so here we go. Getting set. So yesterday we're looking at praying in tongues. That's what led us into everything yesterday. The fact that when we pray in tongues, we open up ourselves to this divine intelligence we have in Christ. There's an intelligence that we carry. There is, the Bible calls it the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. We have the mind of Christ. So it lets us know. Do you remember that 1 Corinthians 2 verse 15? Verse 15 and verse 16. So he began to, he says, 1 Corinthians 2, not 1. He says, but he that is spiritual judges all things, but he himself is judged of no man. Then in verse 16, he said, who had known the mind of the Lord? That he might. He said, who knows God's mind? Who can instruct God? Who can tell God what to do? He said, but we have the mind of Christ. Somebody is going to ask, does it mean we can instruct God? Well, that's not exactly what Paul is saying, because God doesn't need any instructing. But he's saying that we receive something at the God level, that we can think at his level, we can talk at his level, we can understand at his level as God. Are you getting the point? And we've been looking at how that is possible. So I was looking at the fact that when you begin to pray in tongues, right, you open up your mind to everything that God has put in your spirit. So there is an intelligence every believer carries in his spirit. When he begins to pray in tongues, he opens himself to it. Let me put it this way. Let me break it down. You see your spirit man. We saw it yesterday. There is an inward man, right? That your inward man is perfect. When you read the Bible, said we are complete in Christ. It's talking about your inward man. It is perfect. He knows all things. When I mean he knows all things, he knows the, in fact, that your inward man knows doctrine 100%. Are you getting the point? He knows the future 100%. He knows the past 100%. It is complete, perfect. Is the inward man. You say, how is that possible? Because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So that your inward man has become one spirit with God. And so, hear this. The omniscience of God has become the reality of your spirit. Are you getting the point? That omniscience that God has. Omniscience. That omniscience that God has become the reality of your spirit. Because he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So your spirit and the Lord, they are one. So everything that the Lord has is now functionally your spirit. And since God is omniscient, in other words, he knows tomorrow, he knows everything, your spirit carries the same capacity. That's why we call it an intelligence. The God level intelligence. Are you following me, friends? Carries the same capacity. How many things do you think God knows? He knows the end from the beginning. Right? He knows everybody as they should be known. He knows every answer as it should be known. He understands everything as it should be understood. Are you getting the point now? He's omniscient. Now, your spirit has been joined with him. So it's just like I explain this all the time. Get water from the tap. Or maybe get water from one ever bottle. Ever bottle water. And get Aquafina bottle water. And get a cup and pour both of them into one cup. then we say you try to separate the one from Eva and the one from Aquafina. There is no separation technique that can do that. Because they become one. So your spirit and the Lord are one. Is it clear to us? And so the abilities of the Godhead have become the ability of your spirit. And so when we are praying in tongues, what we're trying to do is to take from our spirit man. So listen, if I stand before, I'll talk about word of knowledge today a little. If I stand before you and I want to minister to you, one thing I know is that, you see you, God knows you, everything about you. He knows your past, he knows your future, right? Now, is that correct? Now, that God, I'm telling you the foundation for all this word of knowledge, that God that knows you has become one with my spirit. So in my spirit, I know you as you should be known. Do you understand? When I begin to pray in tongues and I get to know that your name is this, your future is this, this one is that, that's not even everything my spirit knows. That's just the part I can actually get into at that point. Are you following what I'm saying? If I'm in my business and I get an idea, a mind-blowing idea that changes everything, that's still not all that my spirit knows. Are you following me? My spirit knows everything beyond what I think I can ever think of. He knows everything in this complete, perfect state. Are you following me, friends? Because it is joined to the Lord. That's what I'm trying to mean. It is joined to the Lord. It now carries the omniscience of God. Now, this is the foundation for we saying we can know things by the Spirit. Because we know that our spirit knows everything. So everything we are doing is we are taking from what our spirit already knows. Are you following me? Say, I know. By the Spirit. Which is why no believer, if I let me put it this way, no believer is confused. Now that is the truth. No believer is. You have since you got born again, you've never been confused. Say, sir, is it me or another person? You. Now the point is you are the real I'm talking about is your spirit. A believer can be walking in confusion in the natural. But if he looks within, he will find out that he's not confused. That's why we teach you that one of the ways to walk in the reality of your spirit is to mind what you say. That's why you can never hear me say this like, I'm just very confused. I don't talk like that. Because not just because I'm trying to speak positive, but because I know that that is not the truth in my spirit. The truth of my spirit is that I've never been confused. I always know what to do. I always see the path I must walk. Are you following me, friends? I've never been confused. I have never been confused. Never. Says, are people sure? I have never been. I've always known what to do. I've always known. And if you really pay attention, even the few times when you make a mistake, after you make the mistake, it may be a bad choice or bad decision, you always come back to say, something was telling me that this was wrong. Does it happen to you? It tells you that in your spirit, you actually knew that this was wrong. You just ignored it. Are you following me? Something was talking to me that I was doing the wrong thing. In fact, that is actually the biggest pain for the believer when he makes a mistake. Does it happen to you? That's the highest pain. What's the pain? I knew that this thing was wrong. Something was telling me that I shouldn't have gone for that property. Something was really telling me. And that's actually the pain. But let me even help you. If you find that you've missed God at one point, please don't get under that guilt. Because that's another thing the devil wants to do. Because once he gets you under that guilt and you mourn and you feel terrible for a very long time, the next time you'll be faced with a choice to make, the first thing that shows up is fear. Let me not miss God again. Are you get what I'm saying? God doesn't want you to follow him through fear. Don't be afraid of missing God. You can't miss someone that is inside of you. Are you getting the point? I'm not afraid of missing him. Because the devil knows that it's very easy to find the will of God. It's very easy. So what he does is, he comes with all those fear. So when you miss God, feel like you miss God in a matter, don't start feeling bad, feeling terrible, feeling like I'm just a mess. Why did I miss God? And I knew something was telling me, don't feel that way. It's not just for what has happened, it's for the future. Because if you fill your mind with such thoughts, what's going to happen is, next time you have a decision to make, next time you have a choice to make, you come under that pressure. Let me not miss God. Let me not miss God. So even when you finally find what God wants you to do, you are even afraid to execute it in case it's the wrong thing. I get what I'm saying now. Don't be afraid of that. Come under that pressure. Don't come under it. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, there's an intelligence we carry. We always know what to do. Say, I always know what to do. So you look at the confidence of Daniel when the king wanted them to tell him his dream. Daniel didn't have an idea of what the dream was. But he knows that if he goes to pray, he will find it. Now, why can a believer be that confident that if I go to pray, I'll find it? This, to start with, your spirit already knows it. So you are actually not searching. Hear this. You are not searching the clouds or searching the heavens. You are just searching your spirit. The answer is already in your spirit. Are you following me, somebody? The answer is already. So you are not searching the cloud. You are not searching the what now? The universe. The answer is within. So at every point, I know that I have the answer in my spirit. So we're looking at things like when we begin to pray in tongues, it helps us, it opens us up to things like our inward witness. We can get leadings by our inward witness. And I was showing you yesterday, it can come as a burden, it can come as a conviction, it can come as a prayer direction and all of that. It can come as perception. But what I'm saying this is, when we say we know by the Spirit, the prophets have made it look like when God is talking to them, He's speaking to their ear directly. No, that's not how God speaks. Sometimes God will speak that way, but most times He wouldn't talk to you that way. Most times it's just like we were saying yesterday, it's just what you know in your spirit after you pray. It's just what you perceive after you pray. It's just what you understand after you pray. It might just be a scripture that opens up to you after you pray. And in that scripture, you're seeing that there is actually a way. Are you following me now? Well, there is something we are going to do. We're trying to build and all of that. And we are going to build. And we are building already. But there's something, one of those that was praying for the building and all that we're going to do. One of the things that the Lord did was to take me. That was why I told you I studied Solomon recently. Take me to the building of Solomon. I began to explain some steps that Solomon took around that period. And it's going to form a major step that we're going to take. Now, this is something that happened in the Bible. So I'm saying sometimes when you are praying, it might just be an insight into the scripture. Are you following what I'm saying now? An insight into the scripture. An insight. I know someone that was praying one day about the next plan for his life, and he heard the Lord, like He spoke to Abraham, leave your father's house to a land I will show you. And he moved. That was the answer. He made that move, and that became the turnaround in his life. Now, that was just a verse of scripture. Now, you might say that's not what the Bible was saying there, but it came to him at that moment as an instruction. Now, which is why I want to digress to say, which is why you should read your Bible a lot. So that if God will want to reach you that way, He will know the scripture to use. Because some of you don't even need any scripture in your head. So even if God wants to give you a scripture, which one will He use? Jesus wept. Say, as Jesus wept. What does it mean about? Read your Bible. Because the scriptures you read today will come in handy tomorrow. Sometimes it comes in handy in divine leading. In divine leading. And this has played out a lot. Amen. So I also talked about yesterday when we were closing. I mentioned the inward voice. The fact that you can hear. Sometimes you know, but sometimes you really, really hear. You really hear God saying, do this, do that. I say, oh, yes. Sometimes you can get an instruction. People, in an attempt to find this, to see the spectacular, they miss the supernatural. Because the supernatural is not always spectacular. When we say there is an inward voice, people, what they understand is that God is going to echo into their ear, like in Hollywood movies. Say, my son, my son, my son, my son. Let me say this to you. One major problem I have in Hollywood, and this is very serious now, which is why I believe that God will raise many people. There are people, directors, producers, scriptwriters, who try to act church stories and the life of pastors. And they've never been pastors. They've never been in church. They don't even know how things work in church. So that's why you watch those movies. You just say, is this how church runs? I get what I'm saying. You're wondering, is that because they've never been in church. The last church that I attended was when they were small. When they were five. And then the thing that they can tell the story of church and understand how church runs. And I see some things that just happens. I say, at least they do for church. I saw one that they acted. Someone just wanted to start church, started church, got a big hotel, paid for the hotel, bought instruments, and then by 1 month, they had up to 500 people. And he came from nowhere. And the church, they had ushers, they had choir, they had this. Everything was just fine. I said, wow. And how did he start church? He just came out and told his friend, I think we should start church. Money did this church thing, and they started. So you're trying to act church. And you should at least be in church for a short time so that you can be able to tell. So I think a good director or producer that wants to produce a church movie should become part of a church. Join for like 1 year. So that you understand how the system works. You see someone that joins a church, the girl was sent to seduce the pastor, and then she joins a church, and the next day she's actually in the choir. She's the choir leader. How do people think church works? Those things cannot happen in a solid church. That's not how church works. And most times it says about the church that promoting is not solid. No, sometimes they're trying to promote a very solid church. They're trying to act that this church is a very serious church. The pastor and person becomes, how can you become a choir leader? You can't become a choir leader in a serious church in 5 years. So if the devil wants to send someone to go and mess the pastor to make him choir leader, the devil needs 5 years to plan. And that is if you luckily don't, if you're not found out in the 5 years. Are you following me? Uh-huh. Sometimes you see pastor sitting alone in his office and a young girl just walks in wearing a very short skirt for counseling. I said, where does that happen? In this church? No church. So nobody spoke to her. Nobody stopped her. Nobody gave the point. She just walked in and started seducing the pastor. Where do you think that happens? People don't actually know how church functions. I'm just using the smallest. And sometimes even how they talk about church finance, it's very clear they don't actually know how church works. And you know the problem? That's what everybody's watching. So people out there think that is how church is. What led me to that? Huh? That's what led me to that. In what voice? Yes. So you find out because they don't know how church functions, even when they want to act that somebody heard from God. You see what they act. Somebody's lying down on his bed and he says, Jesus, get up. move. And he's moving. Say, who is speaking, Lord? That's how he works. That's not how it works. It just shows you've never been to church. You don't even have an act of spiritual experience. So you have to act it right, right? I want to get into the movie industry. Act what is right. God speaks to us in our spirit. In our spirit. He said, but in our spirit, that's how it sounds. It doesn't really sound like that. God doesn't even sound like that. Don't you know? God is quite soft and persuasive. You can't act it. The voice is soft and persuasive.
is compelling, but it's soft. It's soothing, but it's compelling. It's calming you down, but it's pushing you forward. So it's not shouting into your ear, but it's forcing. He can't act it, so they should leave it alone. I get the point. So let's leave that part. So that's the inward voice. So because of that Nollywood thing, many people, that's what they're expecting. So when I say, pray that God will talk to you about your business, you're expecting God, please. I was a victim of that, I told you guys, right? That I want to hear from God. I even entered under my bed. I said, Lord, I'm not going to come out from here until you speak to me. Yes, I did that for some time. And I'm going to get under that bed and I'm going to stay there for some time and I'm going to sleep off. Then I wake up and come out. Then one time I entered my wardrobe. That was the height of it. Enter the wardrobe, lock the door of the wardrobe. Our wardrobe is not small as it used to be now. No wardrobe, the regular old fashioned wardrobe. I entered there, locked it. I'm not going to come out, Lord, until heat was, even if heat killed me inside here, until I hear your voice. And I slept. Our wardrobe was a bit comfortable then, because it had plenty of clothes and it was scattered. Do you have an idea? So because it was scattered, you could just lie down on top of the clothes and sleep. So I just sleep. I woke up and God did not tell me nothing. What was I looking for? I wanted to hear the audible voice of the Lord. Whatever that means. Eventually, I heard the audible voice of God. I've heard it a couple of times. But did I eventually hear the audible voice of the Lord? There was nothing different from what he was telling me in my spirit. Nothing different. Nothing different. In fact, today when I hear audible voice, I suspect the voice. Yes. Because audible voice can be anything. It can be anybody. It can be the devil talking. It can be your friend faking it. From the background saying, go and give him money. I suspect that. You know, there are mischievous friends that can do that. I'm praying. Let's come around. I say, go, thus says the Lord. Give Rose your money. Give her your shoe. You know, anything can manipulate. But you see, this voice that comes to your spirit, nobody can manipulate it. So, is that voice? It can be a scripture. It can be a song that just comes to you. It can be a word of instruction. It's just there in your heart. You can't explain how you heard it, but you know you heard it. You know you heard it. You know you heard it. That's the intelligence will function by. Amen. Now, another way that, another thing that tongues opens us up to are the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I'm going to talk about just about three or four. There are nine gifts of the Spirit, remember? There are nine gifts. So 1 Corinthians 12 verse 8. So I just want to talk about two of those gifts today. Because it's the two that concern what we are sharing now. Either two or three of them. He said, but one is given by the Spirit. Let's count. What's the first one? You better, do you know why I always make this list all the time? So that you're not going to embarrass me outside. So that they will not ask what are the gifts of the Spirit. You say drama. Vision. Dream. Better read it so that you're not going to embarrass your father. The first one is what? Word of wisdom. And to another? Word of knowledge. Continue. To another? Faith by the same Spirit. To another? Gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another? The working of miracles. To another? Prophecy. To another? Discerning of spirits. To another? Diverse kinds of tongues. And to another? So is vision a gift of the Spirit? Huh? People are now looking at me. Is vision a gift of the Spirit? So what is it? So where do you place vision? Is dream a gift of the Spirit? Huh? So where do you place dream? Huh? I wish on a day. What is dream? Well, we're going to get to that today. Right? But these are the dream is not the gift of the Spirit. Say, me, I have the gift of dream. There's nothing like that. I've heard people say such things. There's nothing like that. It's not in the Bible. Nobody has the gift of dream. So say, me, I have the gift of interpretation of dream. There's nothing like that in the Bible. You plan now, friendly of his. There's nothing like that. Say, but Joseph interpreted. I'm not saying we cannot interpret dreams. I said there's no gift of interpretation of dream. It's not even in the Bible. There's no gift of dreaming. You know what it means to have gift of dream? It means you need sleep to activate your spiritual gift. Imagine you need sleep to activate your gift. So anytime you want your gift to come alive, get me a bed. And I will show you guys something. That's not how it works. But there are dreams, and I'm going to show you where you place them. Because, well, so the major thing I'm going to talk about here is the gift of word of wisdom, word of knowledge. Word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Word of knowledge is not knowledge. Because this is one of the major, some of the major ways we tap into this intelligence we have in Christ. This is not knowledge. It's not even Bible knowledge. The gift of word of knowledge is actually, how do I explain this now? Okay. Word of knowledge is not natural knowledge. It is not knowledge of current events. So it's not knowledge of Bible. It's not natural knowledge. It's not, I know your name. It is the knowledge of a past event or a current event that is not naturally known to you or to the speaker, but you got to know it supernaturally. So I can supernaturally know that this is happening here now. That is word of knowledge. I can supernaturally know that your name is this. Word of knowledge. Are you following me? I can know that, you know, because that's what people call prophecy. That's not prophecy, actually. Do you understand? That's not prophecy. It's word of knowledge. Ability to know by the Spirit that this is this now. And that is that. You find that a lot in the Bible. You know, for instance, I'll give you like three. In 1 Samuel 10, verse 22. You see the gift of Samuel. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further, and if the man should yet come to that, and the Lord answered, he has hidden himself among the stuff. So what was happening is, when it was time to anoint king in Israel, Saul was supposed to be the king. So Saul went to, give me an end of this verse, Saul went to hide. So they were looking for the king that was appointed by the Lord, but he has gone to hide. And then Samuel asked, the Lord said, he is hiding among the baggage. That's word of knowledge. So the word of knowledge, he picked where Saul was at that moment. Now, that's intelligence. That's high-level intelligence. That someone has gone to hide. Nobody knows where he is. And the Lord said, go. And imagine, the prophet says, go to the baggage. You'll find him there. Say amen. Amen. That's word of knowledge. So in other words, things cannot be hid from you naturally. Yes. People should not easily hide things from you. That's what Peter used on Ananias and Sapphira. They came to lie. And Peter said, why has the devil filled your heart to lie to the Holy Ghost? It's the knowledge of a now event or a past event, even if it is hidden. So by word of knowledge, I can know what happened 5 years ago in your life. I can know what happened 6 years ago in your life. I can know that there was a time you had the struggle. I can know that you are having this struggle currently. It is word of knowledge. That's an intelligence we carry that you can't find anywhere in the world. Even psychology cannot tap into it. Are you following what I'm saying now? Are you following me, friends? So he got to that he was hiding in the baggage. In Mark chapter 14, verse 13, you see the gift of word of knowledge again show up. That's with Jesus in his ministry now. Mark 14 and 13. The Bible says he sent forth of his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall you meet a man. You know, this one was very dramatic. He told them, you should go into the city. You will meet a man. The man will be carrying a pitcher of water. He said, follow him. So he was so sure that when they arrived where he was sending them, that there will be a man. It's not like he agreed with the man and told the man, stay here, I'm sending people. Are you getting the point? He said, when you get there, you will meet a man. He said, follow him. And look at what happened. Next verse. And wherever he shall go in, say to the good man of the house, the master had. So there is actually somewhere. There is possibly Jesus had planned with this man that I'm going to eat the Passover in your house. But how was he going to direct the disciples to know exactly where to go? He said, just go there. You meet a man. When you meet that man, just if he walks, follow him. He will lead you to where I'm going to, where I wanted to go to. Now that is supernatural. Are you following me? That's not natural in any way. That's not natural. You know, John chapter 2, verse 24. You find Jesus flowing that word of knowledge again. John 2 and verse 24. You know, Bible said, and I like this, Jesus did not commit himself unto them. If I go to verse 23, Bible said, because of these miraculous signs, many people began to believe in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But what happened in verse 24? He did not commit himself to them because he knew them. So how do you know all men? That's that intelligence. So in the physical, they were saying, Jesus, now you go, we will follow you. You are the main boss. But he didn't commit himself to them because he knew all men. How can someone know all men? That is that intelligence. It's word of knowledge. So you can know people. So in other words, as they were dancing and saying, Jesus, now you be your God. He was looking at them. He could see their hearts. Are you following me? He could see their thoughts. He could see their plans. He could see their thought pattern. He said, leave this one. Nothing dead here. That's actually how to pastor. People can be acting anything. But as a pastor, you should be able to know people beyond what they say about them. You should be able to know people beyond gossip. You should be able to know people beyond asking questions. Are you following me? You should be able to look at people and know them beyond what they're saying. So he did commit himself to them because he knew them. How come a man can know people when they're not saying anything? It is by that word of knowledge. It's an intelligence that we carry. Are you following me, friends? And somebody's going to say to me, sir, but not everybody has this gift. No, sir. Everybody has the gift. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 7 tells us that the manifestation of the Spirit is given to all, to profit without. It's given to every man. Every man has these gifts. With the right training, it will show. Yes, I agree that there are certain callings that a man can carry in his life. And certain gifts will be more pronounced in his life because of his assignment. That is a fact. But it's also a fact that every believer can flow in all of these gifts. Why? Because it is that same spirit that we all carry. Are you getting what I'm saying? So every believer can see by the Spirit and know by the Spirit. Now, again I say, there are certain callings that a man can carry and certain gifts will be pronounced. For instance, if somebody carries an evangelical calling that will demand that he goes to some kind of countries, you will find that there will be a pronounced manifestation of the miraculous in his ministry. Yes. If someone carries a certain kind of a prophetic calling, you might notice that this word of knowledge will be at its heightened level in his ministry. I understand that. But I'm also saying that because we all carry that same spirit, somebody say that same spirit. We have that same spirit. We all can know by the Spirit and see by the Spirit and understand by the Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So Jesus didn't commit himself to them because he knew all men. Yes. So you can actually know people beyond what they say. That's why as a young man, talking about marriage now, if you want to marry, don't just look at what people are saying about themselves. Everybody will declare himself a good person. I hope you know. If you're able to see beyond that, if you're able to see, when you raise your kids, don't just look at what they're saying. If you're able to see beyond that, sometimes they come back, they're so quiet, and you say, why are you quiet? They say, nothing, mommy, I'm just tired. If you're able to see beyond that, I know that there is more. This girl is not just tired. Something has been happening. Don't live life like a blind person because you are not one. Are you getting the point? The Holy Ghost lives in you. I said the Holy Ghost lives in you. Glory to God. So Jesus knew all men. He could see their hearts. He knew what they were thinking. He knew. So how did, was it Jesus that arranged for Judas to kill him, to betray him? No. But did he know that Judas would betray him? Yes. Are you following? But how did he know? Word of knowledge, the gift of the Spirit. He knew that Jesus was going to do that. Because he could see the intentions in everybody's heart. You know, in 1 Samuel 9 verse 19, when Saul went to meet Samuel, I love what Samuel told him. You see the confidence that this guy carried. Samuel told him, Samuel answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Amen. Say, I'm the seer. I like that. Praise God. Even though prophets in the New Testament are not seers. Let's leave that. But I am the seer. He said, go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thy heart. That's confident. I will tell you. See, just go and eat. Tomorrow I will tell everything you are thinking. Can you talk that way? Can you talk that way? I won't even have quiet. How long you can talk that way? You just meet your friend and I say, just rest. Tomorrow I'll tell everything that is your mind. Your spirit can talk that way. But the truth of the matter is that you can. If you just learn how these things work. So if I talk that way, what if I don't get anything? You cannot not get anything. I'm just telling you. Give me like an LT. Then I will tell everything that is in your heart. He said, I will tell you what you want to know and send you on your way. Yes. So there is that faculty of God in us. Why would you be able to talk that way confidently? To start with, remember, your spirit knows everything about that person. So if I were you, if I have this kind of case, if I talk that way, I'll go and pray. Sir, is it for God to tell me sometimes, now hear this, because as I'm talking about tongues, sometimes I'm not even praying for God to tell me anything. I will just spend a lot of time praying. That's how word of knowledge works. So that I can finish praying, I've not known anything after I've prayed. But once I stand before the person, I'll start talking. And everything I say will be correct. Because what is happening, I'll look at that on Monday. What is happening is that I'm now speaking forth what I've said in tongues. And now I'm speaking for the interpretation and everything will be correct. Let me tell you. You see, in the 30 days of light now, there are many things I've said as joke, as digression, as play, that was someone's exact story. True or true for you. Many times. Sometimes it can be so direct, so detailed. You're wondering, she this man, they monitor me. Now, do you know why? I try to pray in tongues a lot if I come to preach. So when I open my mouth to talk, what I'm speaking is not just what I wrote in my notes. What I'm speaking most times is the interpretation to the tongues that I've prayed. I can see the point now. So there is no doubt that the different words I'm speaking this morning or this afternoon is laced with word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Are you following me? Are you guys following me? That is why, let me say this to you. All this idea of you saying, pastor is preaching with me. I can't preach with you. I can't preach with your story. I don't even remember your story. But see, when I preach, I will tell your story. So don't take it personal. In fact, you should be happy if I preach with your name. Are you following me? Instead of thinking, why is he preaching with my name? Just readjust immediately to God's word. So what you do when you have the conflict, just come pray. That's why I normally tell people, if you are going to stand before people and you have to say something, pray in tongues a lot. When you pray, you will know many things. Just come out and start talking. You will know things by the Spirit. Amen. Yeah. But you know, when Samuel eventually told him that you are looking for a donkey, but that donkey has been found. How did he know? He said, your donkey has been found. Currently, your father is looking for you. Now, that's the prophetic. That's word of knowledge. And every believer carries that. It's one of the things that we have in us that makes us supernatural, that makes us super intelligent. It means we can know things we are not told. Are you getting the point? We can know things we are not told. You can be going for an interview and then you're supposed to get some documents. And I'm saying this in the spirit for someone. You're supposed to get some documents. You're supposed to arrange those documents in a certain order. And when you put it in this order, something will just tell you, put this one first, put this one second, and go. Yes. That may be all you need to get the job. Because once that person handles the file, he opens the first time, something he's looking for. You know, what I'm trying to tell you is, you can just know what to do by the Spirit, and then you'll be privileged, you'll be favored. Amen. So there is word of knowledge. Then there is word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is not wisdom. Word of wisdom is a revelation of a divine purpose or divine will in the heart of God. So let me break it down for you. Word of knowledge will reveal what has happened in the past and what is happening. Word of wisdom will reveal what God wants to happen tomorrow. So I can tell you by this time tomorrow, this and this is going to happen. That's word of wisdom. Elisha telling the king that by tomorrow, things will sell at this price in the market. That's word of wisdom. Are you following me now? Yes, that's word of wisdom. The angel coming to Mary to tell Mary that she was going to have a child. This and that is word of wisdom. Telling you what will happen. So, you notice by what I've explained to you, the believer has the capacity to know what has happened, what is happening, and what will happen. Now, is that not supernatural intelligence? That's high-level intelligence. That's high-level brilliance. Nothing can match that. You know what has happened. You know what is happening. You know what will happen. You know what can happen. And we carry that faculty in us. Because we have the Holy Ghost in us. We have the Holy Ghost in us. You know, it was word of wisdom and a blend of the gift of faith, rather, actually, that Jacob manifested. Did you see what Jacob did? Genesis 49. Jacob called all his sons one by one. He will tell them their past and tell them their future. One by one. He looked at Reuben and said, Reuben, that was my first son. He said, but you went up to my couch. You will not excel. He told him his future. He went, do you know, if you study, I did this study. If you study what Jacob told every of these, his sons, that became the future of those tribes in Israel. All of them. He got to Gad. He said, Gad, a troop shall attack him, but he shall overcome. He gave them. In fact, there is a particular place that Jacob talked about. It was so practical. This is very practical. So he talked about oil. If you go to that land currently in Israel, there is oil there. It was so prophetic. You know what I'm saying? So a man can know into 20 generations. Are you guys what I'm saying now? A man can know into 10 generations. A man can know the future. So if every true father in the body of Christ, true father, I mean biological father, should be able to see by the Spirit into the destiny of his children. Yes. That's intelligence. So that you now guide them by the Spirit. You are not guiding them because you want to answer mama doctor. Are you going to say it now? Because you want to answer mama lawyer. He said, you have the brain. Have you seen your physics? Have you seen your chemistry? You're supposed to be an engineer. And the problem is, the child doesn't like engineering. We've had cases of children that have run out from school because they don't want to study that course. Now, somebody's going to say to me, what if God really tells you your child should be this? And your child says no. Well, it's fine. If God really told you, one of the things you should learn to do is to learn to guide your children. Brother Hagin will tell you, when they gave birth to their sons, they knew that Kenneth W. Hagin, that's the current Pastor Hagin, was going to take over from them, was going to preach. He said, but they never told him. They didn't mention it to him. Until he by himself, he began to say, God told him. And he saw it. So, look at what happens. Because God has shown you the destiny of the children early, you begin to define their choices for them very early. You begin to choose the kind of school you put them, the kind of things you expose, because you know where they're going to. You know, people don't, it's the interest people are exposed that they eventually have. You know, right? That's the sincere truth. That's the sincere truth. Begin to expose them.
You can expose them. You know, pastors that God has shown the future of their kids are quite, most of them are quite very intentional. You know, when this young man that is an actor took over to pastor his father's church after that of his father. Remember? People began to complain. Ah, how can an actor? He used to kiss in movies. He used to go Bethesda. But the truth of the matter is that the man that handed over to him knew he was going to be that thing. Do you know where that guy did his university education? He went to Oral Roberts University. Yes. There are choices that because God has shown you the future of your children, you make, you help them. By that choice, there is a real chance that they will get it right. That's also wisdom in parenting. I'm not telling them, you must be a doctor. He's a doctor because I told God I wanted a doctor. And you cannot not be a doctor. What parents don't even understand is that medicine is no longer a thing. Jesus Christ, I just say that. I mean, I mean financially speaking. It's no longer those days that once, you know, how to know the rich people are people who are doctors and lawyers. It's no longer true. Engineer and nurse. It's no longer that at that time. So what I say is, sir, there are doctors that are broke. What else are you saying? There are doctors that are rich. So maybe I'm just saying, it's no longer about my child must be a doctor, my child must be this. No. You can, by the Spirit, see the destiny of these kids. Know where they're going to. Do you know, I strongly believe that Jacob giving Joseph a coat of many colors was prophetic. Somehow, he knew. Maybe he may not know how he knew, but he knew that this guy was going to stand out among all his brothers. And it did happen. He eventually wore that royal apparel in his life. A father should be able to know his children's destiny. Now, and not to force them or manipulate them into it, but to guide them into it. To guide them into it. There are some people here, you give birth to a child, your child can sing. But God will tell you plainly, this one is not a singer. Let him just be. But because you've seen that singing used to give people money, you now gather your child, you bring your child at 7 years and write, compose rubbish and give him. He goes to the studio. Say, I am a good child. Are you a good child? Because you want to make money. The problem is, are you following me? You've exposed that child too quickly to the world because of your selfish interest. He now knows too much. He now begins to see money. By the time he's 13, you can no longer tell him what to do. You can't tell the child what to do. Because you just wanted. So even if God told you that child was going to sing, did God tell you he will start singing at 7? And start waxing albums at 7? Because you want to make money. You know the song I'm talking about? I have nothing against them. Are you a good child? I am a good child. Jesus made me a good child. I am a good child. And people are buying it. You are making money for your family at the expense of your child's destiny. Be a smart parent. Even when God shows you, he should show you timing. Amen. Because, you know, sometimes you find out a pastor can have kids and it will not be his first son that will pass after him. It might be his last daughter. Maybe his second son. It may be someone else. It can be anything. But then because of this, your African mindset, you say, my first son must follow. Because you are the heir apparent to the throne. You are just acting Nigerian film in your head. African magic epic. Whose real parent is what? God should be able to tell you. That's how we know by the Spirit. We know by the Spirit. I guess what I'm saying now. We know by the Spirit.
That's why many people, even apart from ministry, many people have run their companies down because they kind of feel the first son must take over his father. Okay. Now your first son wants to be a footballer. He doesn't even care about everything you are doing in that your block industry. So I'm talking block industry. You say, well, daddy, what is all of this? Sell all of these things you are doing here. He doesn't care. But I had a story like that actually. The guy, man, very wealthy guy, has estates. So he sent his child abroad to go study. The guy studied. He's doing well for himself. So he's been pushing, come back. And the whole company is come and take over the father's. Come and take over. So eventually the child agreed to come back. So he came back. And the father took him round to all those properties. After, and I told him, daddy, what, can we sell off all these things? Because I'm going back next week. Sell them. And it's not the child's fault. He just doesn't see himself doing that. But then, because in your African mindset, you said, my child must be the one that will take over from me. My first son. Because I know. You don't know. Just know by the Spirit. It might be your daughter. Or your daughter's husband. Actually. Or you have serious long life. It will be your grandchild. I get what I'm saying now. Your grandchild at 24. You say, will you still be alive when your grandchild is 24? You don't want to be alive? At 24, it just takes over. You find out that you just break your... No, that is pastoring. That is fathering by the Spirit. Fathering by a higher kind of intelligence. Not just doing things naturally. And that's the same thing we apply in every area of our lives. So it helps us see what is coming. And somebody's going to say, so how do I begin to get this word of knowledge and word of wisdom? Now, hear this. Everything I mentioned yesterday, inward witness, inward voice, they are vehicles and agents of communication for word of knowledge and word of wisdom. What I'm saying is, you can get a word of wisdom just by your inward witness. You can get a word of knowledge just by an inward voice. You can know what will happen in the future just by that voice. That's why I started with it yesterday. So, inward voice, inward witness, they are just vehicles. Now, it takes me to the next thing, that the question I asked you earlier. Visions are agents or vehicles through which these gifts are communicated. So, there is no gift of vision. But notice this. If you are going to see a vision, what is the aim of any vision? The aim of any vision is either to bring about a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. Is it clear? I think I'm rushing. Let me make it clear. If you see a dream where something happened, there are two things that dream is trying to show. There are two possible things. Either that dream is trying to show you something that has happened in the past, or something that is happening currently, or something that will happen. Abi? So that's why I say dreams, visions, are just agents or vehicles through which these gifts of the Spirit are communicated. So someone can get a word of knowledge by having a vision. So I can be ministering here, and my eye just opens, and I see that someone sitting around here is going to get a miracle of encouragement. Now, I just see that by the Spirit. How did I see it? I'm a ministry here, and I just see where, an example, I just see where these words you are reading, encourage, it can happen. Now, and by that seeing, I got to know, okay, somebody's going to get an encouragement. So I have actually gotten something about that will happen tomorrow or next week, but it was communicated through a vision. So visions are not gifts of the Spirit. Dreams are the gifts of the Spirit, but through dream. For instance, through Pharaoh's dream, Pharaoh got to know that there will be 7 years of famine and 7 years of plenty. So his dream gave him a word of wisdom. I people get what I'm talking about. That's how it works. Through Joseph's dream, Joseph got to know that sometime in the future, he will lead his brethren. So, the key thing is God wants to bring about either show you what has happened, what is happening, or what will happen. It can be communicated through an inward voice. It can come through just a perception in your spirit. It can come through just an inward knowing. It can come through a vision. It can come through a dream. Are you following me? But the two things Major thing is that there will be a word of, there will be what has happened, knowledge of what has happened, what is happening, or what will happen. So when we talk about inward voice, inward witness, this can serve as agents of communication, vehicle that brings about a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Right? That's what visions are. That's what dreams are too. They will bring about what, a knowledge of what is happening or what will happen. Are you getting the point? So when you see a vision, when, or, so if God wants to get to you, so I'm just trying to teach now. If there's a situation around you, maybe, and you are praying about it, and you want God to show you something about the matter, sometimes he will not show you pictures. Sometimes you just get to know. Now, that's your inward witness playing out. But it's now bringing about a word of wisdom, a word of knowledge. This is very clear to us. So, inward witness is not the gift of the Spirit. Inward voice is not the gift of the Spirit. Vision is not the gift of the Spirit. But there are vehicles through which the gift of the Spirit is communicated. Is it very clear to us now? So sometimes when I stand here and I say, there is somebody here that has this, this and that, it's not every time I say those things that I actually heard. Do you get the point? Sometimes I say those things because I just know that there is somebody here. It's inward knowing. I can't explain how I know it, but I know it. That is the word of knowledge coming through my inward witness. Are you getting the point? Sometimes I say that because I actually heard. Sometimes I say that because I see pictures. I see pictures. And then by that picture I've seen, I can tell you this is what is going to happen. And this is what will not happen. Are you following me? So, sir, how do we explain visions? Let me break down the idea of visions for you. There are three kinds of visions. You know, we're dealing with intelligence, right? We have in our God life. There are three kinds of visions. And I've taught on this a couple of times. Number one, there is the open vision. Let me start with that. That is open vision. There is spiritual vision. And there is trance. So let's have the first one is what? Second one. Number three, trance. So that is open vision, spiritual vision, trance. Now, what is open vision? An open vision is a vision that you have using your physical eyes. I mean your physical eyes, your five natural senses. So you can be here and you see something. You did not see it in the spirit. You see it physically. That sometimes you are wondering why your neighbor is not seeing it. So that is open vision. Has it ever happened to you? Huh? Now, it's not a must. That's why I'm saying, why I asked. Now, it is the most rare or the rarest. Is that most rare or the rarest? Okay. You said what? You say most rare. They say rarest. Which are you going with? Stand up and say that you want to say so that I can give you a mic. So everybody know you're the one that suggested it to me. We are all these English people. Eh? Very rare. Okay. Scarce. Okay. But you know what I'm saying? It is the one that will happen the least. The reason is this. That open vision is the least. The reason is because, like I've shown you, it involves your physical senses. Anything can access your physical senses. The devil can even show you through your physical eyes. You can see things. Anything can affect it. So it will not always happen. It can happen, but it will not always happen. And that's why it is the one that you should not be seeking. Say, Lord, I want to see with my physical eyes. Stop seeking it. It's not necessary. Because in an attempt to see with your physical eyes, you can see nonsense. It's not necessary. Because you can still see with your physical eyes and what you saw is wrong. Sir, is that possible? Yes, because the devil can actually show things to your physical eyes. The devil can make something appear to you.
I get what I'm saying now. So you can see with the physical. So it's the most rare. And God doesn't. Well, and let me tell you why it doesn't happen often. Very seriously. Because God is a spirit. And he wants to relate with your spirit, not with your senses. So it will rarely happen. It will rarely happen. I knew a man that had a lot of open visions. His name was Kenneth E. Hagin. But that's a lot of open, he saw visions. He saw Jesus rather in a vision about 6 or 7 times. But that was all throughout his life. But he had 1,001 visions. But those times, it was about 7 times that he saw Jesus physically. Even though he was called into the prophetic. But it's not something that should happen all the time. So stop saying, Lord, I don't want all this spiritual thing. Me, I want to see you with my physical eyes. You are asking for what God did not ask you to ask for. Do you understand the point? And the problem is that if you keep pushing into that, the devil can take advantage of that and begin to show you things that you don't want to see. Because I've seen that happen. I don't like sharing those stories. It doesn't scare you. But I've seen it happen. I've seen people have appearances and they feel it's God. But it's not God. Are you getting the point? In fact, let me make it very... Okay, let's leave it. You know, there are people who are not born again. But they claim... And let me tell you why. And this is why I'm saying this. Open visions are not very special. It's just rare. You know why it's not special? It involves your physical eyes. Is that true? What that tells that anybody can have it, even the unbeliever can have it. The unbeliever cannot have a spiritual vision because his spiritual eyes are not open. He doesn't have his spirit man is not alive. But Cornelius, who was not saved, saw an angel appear to him physically. Do you get the point? The shepherds who were watching over when Jesus was born, they saw angels singing. But they couldn't have seen it with their spiritual eyes. So they saw it with their physical eyes. The advantage we have as believers is that we can see with the eyes of our spirit, not just with our physical eyes. So just that people celebrate it because I saw him physically. It doesn't make, even unbelievers can see physically. Cornelius saw physically. An angel appeared to him. Mary saw physically. I can give you many, many people that saw physically. What's his name? Belshazzar saw a hand that appeared on the wall that wrote many, many tekel passing. That was an open, bright vision. But you know what he meant? He meant he was going to die. But there's nothing special about it. But if it comes to you, God can reach you through that. Don't discard it. Once you know it is God, take the message. Then there's another kind of vision called spiritual vision. Spiritual visions is when you see in the spirit, but you are seeing with the eyes of your spirit, not with your physical eyes. I will show you some of this in the Bible. Right? I've already mentioned Cornelius. Cornelius had an open vision. That's an example. He had an open vision. Right? But there are spiritual visions where you see with the eyes of your spirit. You're just praying and you see something. You might even be closing your eyes and you are seeing. That's the beauty of the spirit. You can close your eyes and your eyes are open. You can close your eyes and you're seeing. And you can don't doubt that it is supernatural. Do you know I can be talking to you now as I'm talking to you? That's why, you know, we read something yesterday. That when you pray in tongues, your understanding is unfruitful. But your spirit is praying. I can be talking to you now as we're talking. We're having a serious conversation. And I'm seeing a vision in my spirit. And I'm not distracted in my mind. I'm still talking to you calmly. But I'm seeing something in my spirit. Why? Because it's my spirit seeing, not my mind. I put people I'm saying. It can happen many times. Not it can happen many times. I can be talking with you. Sometimes when people come to my office and I'm discussing with them, I'm just seeing visions as I'm talking with them. So when I finish talking, I start counseling them. Say yes. How did you know? When they were talking, I didn't have to be distracted. I can be talking actively now, and God is showing me things. And it's the same for every believer. And by the time I explain it, you find that all of you, it happens to you. Don't you pray sometimes and you see things you don't understand? Doesn't it happen to you? Yes. It's not like you are imagining it. It's not like you are forcing yourself to see them. You didn't even plan to. But you just see them. Sir, but I see them. I don't know the meaning. I'm about to show you how to know the meaning. That's why I'm doing this. Because those things you are seeing, the aim is that it should bring about either a word of knowledge or word of wisdom. it should bring a revelation to you. So that is that spiritual vision. It comes to all of us. Where you might just be praying and then, boom, your eyes open. So that you're not even praying, but your eyes are open. You know, in the spirit, you can close your eyes in the physical, and your eyes are open in the spirit. Hallelujah. You know, one thing I said to people is, don't sit down when you are seeking a vision. And I teach this all the time. Don't seek a vision. Just seek to be led. If God wants to lead you through a vision, it's fine. But one of the easiest ways to open yourself to all these things is to pray in tongues. When you pray in tongues, you open your eyes in the spirit. And you can see by the spirit. Are you still here, friends? Thank you, Lord Jesus. God will show you things. So God will show you. You can just be praying and you see. Do you know, let me give an example. Do you know, these things are so practical. The Redeemed, I've said this many times, Redeemed Christian Church of God, that's Pastor Iya Deboye, the one he's pastoring, was not founded by him. It was founded by Pachosai Akindayomi. Pachosai Akindayomi was an illiterate, for lack of a better word. Right? He didn't go to school. He doesn't even speak English. He doesn't even read English. If what brought Pastor Deboye close to him was that Pastor Deboye was interpreting from Yoruba to English for him. But do you know, the name Redeemed Christian Church of God, he saw it in a vision. Saw the correct spelling in the vision. Wrote it down and the spelling was correct. Now, that's what I call supernatural intelligence. Like he was praying and he saw it and he took time and wrote what he saw and called people who could read and they read it and said, what you just wrote is Redeemed Christian Church of God. Are you guys following me, friends? Say, sir, can that happen now? It has happened. It never happens to me. It has never happened to me recently. I've told you guys, when it was time for us to have our baby, I got the name and the names of every child we will ever have in a vision, and I got it delivered to me in the Yoruba language. Now, I don't know how to speak Yoruba at all. It was delivered to me in the Yoruba language, and the meaning of the names were delivered. He said, this one, this name. That's why my kids, I can tell you they have Yoruba names, even though we don't call them by that. Because this one, this is the name, this is what it means. So we now have to look for an English and any other language that we want, or Igbo or whatever, that will carry the meaning of the name that we saw. I get what I'm saying? But I saw it very clearly. Yes. So it's not just that we just came up and said, what name is going to be sweet? Oh, I don't do that sweet name. I don't do sweet name. You go online and browse trending names for 2025. I thought we were done with that. Why are you guys thinking me facts with that? Trending names 2025, and then it shows up that you begin to call different names. Sometimes you don't even know the meaning. You know, there are names that don't have meaning. Are you aware? Names that are actually meaningless. Sister, but does this name thing really matter? Well, it may not matter to you, and it's fine if it doesn't matter to you. But it matters to me. I have some examples, so let's leave it. Amen. When I talk to parents, particularly about parenting and childbearing, I'm going to emphasize some of these things. Right? It's good to name your children with their future, not with current event or with the past. Huh? Give it your child, name him Ozemena. Ozemena, let another one not happen. What is another one? How does that reflect the future of the child? If that's your name, sorry. How does that reflect? You know, that's what Rachel wanted to do. Gave birth to a child because she was dying of pain. Named the child Benoni. The father said, no. This is not, but this one is Benjamin. You don't name children with your past. I get the point. Jabez, because I gave birth to him out of sorrow. What kind of, what was that? Am I the one that said that you born me in sorrow? So what concerns me are your sorrow? Are you following me? A clear example of proper child naming is Elizabeth and Zachariah, how they named John. When Zachariah had that vision,
the angel told him that this child shall be called John. Of course, he doubted it and became dumb. So when the child was eventually born, the kinsmen gathered and decided to name the child Zachariah. That would have been his name, oh. Zachariah the Baptist. That would have been his name. And Zachariah, from the story, we don't know whether he has even discussed with the wife, because he was dumb. But the wife just knew that this should not be the name of the child. Are you getting the point? And insisted and said, he shall be called John. And look at what the people said. There is nobody in our kindred that bears that name. It's not a name that is, it's not, you get the point, it's not our kindred name. You don't know, it's not about kindred, it's about the child's future. So when they argued and argued and argued, they now said, okay, let them give the father a pen or something to write the name of the child. And the father wrote the same thing. His name is John. Yes. That's husband and wife, spirits together. Say amen. I'm saying this for a reason. There is that help we have of the spirit that we don't name children like we are mad. Just look at what you are passing through now. You give birth to your child and on the day Buhari died, name your child Buhari. Now, and that's not a joke. I've seen that play. I went to a community. Don't have Buhari, Babangida, Shagari. I said, what's happening? And they told me, this one was born when Shagari was in power. I'm not joking. So spiritual visions. So God can speak to you in another language. Because God said this. And now so God can show you things. He can show you things. He can show you things. There is a third kind of vision called trance. The difference between trance and other kinds of vision is that don't miss this. When you're having an open vision, your senses, physical senses are working. When you're having a spiritual vision, your spiritual senses are working. When you're having, but then you are still conscious physically. But you're still conscious. But in a trance, you are unconscious physically. And you're just seeing with your spirit. So that's why dream is a kind of trance. Where you are sleeping, or have you ever, some of you say it like, it's like I was sleeping, but it's like I was awake. I was half awake, I think I was awake. Now that's a trance. It suspends your physical senses and you can see. Are you still here? Pharaoh had that. Peter had that. Peter's one was dramatic because if he wasn't a spiritual person, and this is very, very serious. Because sometimes when you're having a vision can come from something that is happening to you naturally. Let me give an example. How did Peter start seeing that vision in Acts chapter 10 of rise, kill, and eat? He was hungry. He was hungry and they were cooking. The cooking was taking so long. You know that's what happened. So he now went up to sleep. And then he saw. Rise. Kill. Eat. If he would have woken up to say, he's hunger. Are you following what I'm saying now? Not everything is just, some things can be happening normally in the natural. And God can begin to show you with that. So hear what I'm going to say. They say some dreams come from your mind, and that is true. Some dreams come from imagination, that is true. But there are still dreams that will come from your mind and from your imagination that are actually spiritual, that actually mean something. Because in this case, Peter was really, really hungry. So he would have just said, well, maybe it's the hunger that is making them give me food in the dream for me to eat. Are you still here? Shout amen, somebody. Amen. Lord, we are closing soon. No. We're closing soon. Are you getting blessed?
Yes, sir.
We're closing soon. How soon? Amen. Some of you have already crossed your elastic limit. But it's fine. We will stretch it a little more. It will not yet, it won't cut. Do you love the word of God? Somebody said to me, sir, once he gets to this point, I'm not understanding another thing you are saying. But it's not true. You're understanding something. You see, you are writing. So what are you writing? Yeah, Bible passes. Glory to God. We're closing soon. Like in 30 minutes time. Amen. If you rejoice too much, we continue. You should have said, child, why are we closing now? Amen. So Peter was hungry. And that voice said, rise. So you can actually be, and do you observe, the vision that Peter had, because I'm going to talk about it very shortly, had nothing to do with food. Had nothing to do with people that were cooking. That's the meaning of the vision. Because what was the meaning of the vision? Three men seek thee. It was about the Gentile nation. They was going to go and minister to Cornelius. Do you understand? So you can actually be prepared for an exam and you have a vision, a dream about where you are writing an exam. And it might have nothing to do with the exam that you are preparing for. God is just picking something from your mind, something you are conscious of in the natural to teach you, to show you something. So, how do I know? So, these three visions I gave you, whether it's open vision or spiritual vision or trance, that is one common thing about all visions. Visions work with symbols. Once you can interpret the symbols you see in a vision, you've gotten the meaning of the vision. Now, why am I taking time to explain this vision thing? Because the Lord said to me when I was planning for this, many people actually see all that they should see, but they don't know all that they should know. He said, I've shown them, but they're not able to interpret. I've shown them, but they're not able to interpret. You know you are not blind. Now that's the truth. No believer is. Just that when we are adopted, you find that you actually see things, but you don't know that you're actually seeing what you're looking for. Do you know, there is hardly any time you pray seriously. What is serious prayer? You pray with your focus that you don't see things. I just told you something very. That is not possible. You will see something. Just that sometimes you just. I don't even know what's this one. You just discard it. Because what you are seeing does not make sense to you. But you do not realize that's how visions come. Visions come with symbols. If I analyze some visions in the Bible, when Pharaoh had the dream, what was the symbol in his own vision? Cattle. Fat cattle, slim cattle. What did those cattle mean? The cattle, what did it mean in the dream? Years. Seven cattle, the fat ones, seven plentiful years. The slim cattle, are you getting the point? When Joseph had his dream, what was it? What did he see? He saw stars, right? Bowing. He saw corns. Do you remember that? Bowing to one corn. What did that mean? It means he was going to stand as a leader. Is he saying that his brothers are corns or that he's a corn? No. Visions work with symbols. In fact, the interesting one, and I want us to read that one, Daniel chapter 2. Nebuchadnezzar's vision is interesting. Because that's why he told them, you have to tell me, you have to show me. Give me verse 31. Let's do New Living Translation so that we'll enjoy it. In your vision, your majesty, you saw standing before you a huge, shining statue of a man. It was a frightening sight. The head of the statue was made of fine gold. His chest and arms were silver. His belly and thighs were bronze. His legs were iron. And his feet were a combination of iron and baked clay. Imagine you see this. What will you do? Now, it didn't stop there. As you watched, a rock was cut from a mountain, but not by human hands. It struck the feet of iron and clay, smashing them to bits. The whole statue was crushed into small pieces of iron, clay, bronze, silver, and gold. Then the wind blew them away without a trace, like chaff on a threshing floor. But the rock that knocked the statue down became a gray mountain that covered the whole earth. What does this dream mean? He said, the rock that knocked it is the rock of ages. You know, that's how we try to interpret dreams. He said, that statue is a demonic statue. Then the rock of ages, which is Jesus, the rock of Gibraltar. But do you know what all of these things mean? The iron, the bronze, these were different kingdoms that will come after Nebuchadnezzar dies. Simple. Simple. I get to the point. Verse 39 said, after your kingdom comes to an end, another kingdom inferior to yours will rise to take your place. After that kingdom has fallen, yet a third kingdom, represented by bronze, will rise to rule the world. Following that kingdom, there will be a fourth one, as strong as iron. That kingdom will smash. I get to the point. He kept showing him. So this was just reign of kings and kingdoms. Visions work with symbols. So the answer is to interpret the symbols. Once you do that, here you are with supernatural, with wisdom that you don't know where it's coming from. Many of you have seen the future of your business in visions, but you don't know that's what you saw. Some of you have seen the next move. You don't know that's what you saw. Are you following me? Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, God shows us things. We are never in the dark. Never. God will never leave you in the dark. Over anything, He will always, let this be your assurance. So, how do you interpret symbols? This is where there is a problem for many people. Because there are books we now call Dreams and Interpretation. Have you read them? Where they tell you that when you see egg, egg means a Christian must always be willing to ask questions. Questions like, how did people come about this thing you are saying? We raised a church, not we, I'm not part of them, but there's a church that cannot ask questions. That when you ask questions, you are seen as rebellious. Not everybody asking questions is rebellious. Are you following me? Yes. Now, if somebody is questioning the authority in place, that's rebellion. But someone should be able to, people should be able to ask sincere questions. Why is this like this? Why? Okay. Every time I see apple in the dream, apple is good. It's a good thing. Why? He said, don't you see how it is shaped? And if I see snake in the dream, what does snake mean? Serpentine spirit. Why is that? What did Jesus say about serpents? He said we should be wise as serpents. But I thought serpent is serpentine spirit. Are you following me? And every time you see yourself eating in the dream, it means they've initiated you into the marine kingdom. And if you see yourself eating meat, the other one is worse. Because it's human meat that you're eating. I had those materials. I didn't buy them. I just saw them. And if you test yourself inside water, forget it. You are already a member. Now, I'm not saying those things are not true. I just said, how did we come about those things? Who first thought about it to write it? Who did it first come to his mind? And who made it a law? Who? Imagine that's how Joseph was interpreting dream. And Joseph will now write a book after interpreting Pharaoh's dream. He will now say, every time you see cattle in your dream, cattle means yes. And did you see the dream he interpreted for the butler in prison? He said one of them had a vision where he was carrying something on his head. I think fruits or so. And a bird came and began to eat it. And he said, your head will be cut off. That was the meaning. He said, Pharaoh will call you and cut off your head. And he noticed that time, Pharaoh called him and cut off his head. So, every time you see bird eating from your head in a dream, your head is about to be cut off. That's not true. That's not true. These things are things of the spirit. The problem is, you are trying to interpret a spiritual event with your natural senses. Nobody that is not born again, that is not full of the spirit, can interpret a spiritual vision. A vision communicated by God, you can't use your sense to interpret it. You will make a mistake. And that's why some of you have canceled plans that you would have made in your life because you see a dream. And they said, And that one of the books I had, they would tell you that, look at me of the dream, and tell you how many days prayer and fasting that this particular dream must take to cancel. So who made the law? Doesn't make any sense. It's not true. It's not correct. Do you understand me? What did I say? It's not correct. And I've said it before, there is no human being that has the gift of interpretation of dreams. Nobody is like that. Did you observe that in the entire New Testament, nobody interpreted another person's dream? Think. Peter had a dream. He interpreted it himself. Paul had a vision on the road of Damascus. He interpreted it himself. Paul had a dream. Come over to Macedonia and come and help us. He interpreted it himself. Nobody interpreted someone else's dream. Not once. So what happened in the Old Testament? Did you not see the pattern in the Old Testament? Who were people dreaming in the Old Testament? Hidden kings who were interpreting sons of Israel. Are you following me? That's a pattern. Pharaoh had a dream. When Joseph had his dream, did he call an interpreter? He knew the meaning. Are you following me this afternoon, everybody? Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He needed an interpreter. Belshazzar, the same thing. Daniel did not need an interpreter. He didn't need it. Paul didn't need it. John had a vision. He called the book of Revelation. He didn't call for the council of the elders to interpret it for him. He knew the meaning. So there is nobody gifted in the church today to interpret people's dreams. There's nobody like that. Now, if you tell me your dream, I can know the meaning. Yes. Another believer can know the meaning of your dream. But see, that same way he can know, you can also know. In fact, can I say to you, it is best that you interpret your own dreams. It is best. And your own visions. Is someone following me this afternoon? The simplest way to interpret dreams, visions, spiritual vision or open vision is simple. Don't pay attention to the symbols you are seeing. Pay attention to your spirit man. That's all. The answer to a dream, a vision, is not in the dream, it's in your spirit. Because symbols can mean this in this vision and mean that in another vision. So the only way you can know, that's why we started with the inward witness yesterday, is to check what your spirit is saying to you at this point. So what did Peter do? When Peter got up from his vision in Acts chapter 10, verse 19, the Bible said, while Peter thought on the vision. So you don't just get up from the vision and say, oh, where is that my dream book? I saw where they brought up that. What does dog mean? Dog means immorality. See, that's what dog means. Did you read those books? How would I even say? I read it now. Dog means immorality. Pig. Yeah? Uncleanliness, according to you. What else? No. Okay, snail means the spirit of
Sluggishness.
You see what they're doing? The Bible said that we are using spiritual terms to interpret spiritual things. But we are using natural sense to interpret spiritual things. How can you ever arrive at the answer? And you see what the devil does to you? Once he gives you that wrong interpretation, you will run with it. Once you run with it, it begins to show up in your life. So you see yourself where you saw a dog in the dream. And he says what he means is that the spirit of immorality is around. You believe it. Once you believe it, the next time, you now begin to do immoral things. Because he has convinced that that's the reality. Once you eat in the dream, what it means is that your prayer life has gone down. That's what they told us. There is an attack on your prayer life. And eventually, once you eat in the dream, our prayer life begins to go down. Peter thought on the vision. He didn't jump out of bed. He thought on the vision. May I add, you think on it prayerfully. So when you get up, you are turning it in your mind. Why are you turning it in your mind? Remember, the answer is in your spirit. So while he thought, what happened? The spirit said to him, behold, three men seek thee. Now watch this. The spirit, and I'm trying to talk to you about symbols. The spirit did not start telling him, Peter, the dog you saw in the dream means this. He didn't do that. He just gave him the meaning of the vision direct. Three men seek thee. Follow them. Let me tell you why that vision came. In Israel, you don't eat all those animals. Those animals are forbidden. Now, that same way, an Israelite should not mingle with a Gentile. And here was a delegation from Cornelius, who was a Gentile, inviting Peter to come and preach. So naturally, Peter would have said no. So God showed him that vision, that the same way these animals are rejected, are avoided in Israel, that's the way the Gentiles are avoided in Israel. But in that vision, he told him, what God has made clean, don't call it unclean. So in other words, God has opened the door for all nations, including the Gentile nations, to come into Christ. Don't cast them out. That was all the vision was saying. But God didn't start explaining that to Peter, this one, as he was thinking on it. The spirit said, three men are seeking this. So where did Peter get the answer from? From his spirit, not from his mind. He didn't start analyzing the dream, analyzing the dog, analyzing the shape of the animal, analyzing the pig that he saw. The answer is in your spirit. So most of the people come to me and say, sir, I had a dream. Sometimes I say, what is the meaning? They say, sir, that's what I'm telling you. I say, no, that's what I'm asking you. You tell me the meaning. Because God will not show you something and take the meaning from you. If he shows you, the meaning is there. So next time you are praying and you just see a picture, something flash before you, I tell you what to do. Don't ignore it. Stay on it in prayer and keep praying in tongues. There is a message there. There's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom. Are you following me, friends? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just see something flash before you. Stay there. There's a message there. Just that sometimes you just wave it off and just move on in the prayer. And sometimes you find that when you wave it off, it returns. Has it ever happened to you? It returns. You wave it off. It returns. It's not your mind though. There is something. Those symbols are just pointers to what God is showing you. The real answer is in your spirit. The last is your spirit. So Pharaoh saw cattle, but the answer was yes. Are you following me? Paul saw a man saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. And they got up, assuredly gathering that the Lord has sent them to Macedonia. Assuredly, yesterday, they came to that conclusion from their spirit. That okay, that our spirit says this. So when you get up from a dream, instead of calling your mother to say, mommy, there is this scary dream I saw, consult your spirit. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Pray in the Holy Ghost. The answer is that you are not without help. You are not blind now. You are not blind. But let me tell you, when I say that
The Lord showed me the names of the kids and all of that. How did it happen? I was having a vision. I was praying. Having a vision at the same time. And in that vision, I saw, and show you how it happens. I saw these kids and I saw myself calling out those names. And as I was calling out the names in the vision, I knew the meaning in my heart at the time in the vision. So I got up and wrote all of them down. And then went on Google to start checking the meaning of this word in Yoruba. And I was correct. And my checking self in all those Google things I was checking is just because of my own humanity and unbelief. Because normally there is no point checking. The Holy Ghost is never wrong. I get the point. Holy Ghost is never wrong. But then I'm human. Do you understand? So I had to go and check. I had to check. I say, this is correct. Amen. When you see, there is a meaning. And you know, sometimes the things you will see will have nothing to do with what you are praying about. Visions work with symbols. For instance, John was in a vision and he saw 7 golden candlesticks. Do you remember that? And saw Jesus in the midst of the candlestick. And he saw in the hands of Jesus 7 stars. What does this mean? What does this mean? Somebody is going to say, 7 golden candlestick. What does it mean? What does it mean? What does it mean? Prayer incense. Prayer fire. Jesus was standing in the midst of prayer fire. That's not what it means. I get to the point. Jesus told him, the 7 golden candlesticks that you see, they are the 7 churches. So in that vision, candlestick meant churches. And he told him the 7 stars that you see are the 7 pastors of those churches. So in that vision, pastors or stars meant pastors. Are you following me? There is no way John would have come about that. And then Apostle John does not now have the right to write a book on dreams and interpretation, a vision and their meaning. To now say that whenever you see stars, it means pastor. Do you know God told Abraham to come out and count the stars, and as many as the stars that he sees, then that will be his descendants. That's not pastor. Do you understand now? When Jesus was born, those guys that we are watching, they saw stars. They said, we saw his star in the east. And that star they saw meant to them that Jesus had been born. That's not pastor. Anything can mean anything. I get the point. In 1 Kings chapter 19, Elijah, waiting upon the Lord, he saw a fire. But the Bible said the Lord was not in the fire. Yes. He saw fire pass before him. He said, but God wasn't there. But God wasn't there. But on the day of Pentecost, when fire rested on the heads of the apostles, that fire meant the Holy Ghost. So the Lord was in that fire. But it wasn't in the one that Elijah saw. Are you guys following me at all? It's not about using symbols to confuse yourself. Check your spirit man, you're not without help. So next time you are praying and you see fire, it could mean anything. It could mean that you should pray against fire outbreak in your house. Do you understand? It could also mean that revival fire is going to burn in your school and shake up everywhere. I get to the point. It could also mean that God wants you to burn with the fire. It can mean anything. It can mean anything. Do you understand the point? Yes. It could also mean that God wants you to start selling gas. I'm being very frank. This is a generate fire. It can be anything. And you cannot say because it means this to it, it must mean that to you. Remember, we must compare spiritual things to spiritual. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We must compare spiritual things to spiritual. We must compare spiritual things to spiritual. First Corinthians 2, give me, I think verse 13 or 14 or so. Yes.
Which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. In fact, give me like NLT, English translation. He said, using spirit words to explain spirit truths. Spirit words explain spiritual truths. And so, you do not use carnal means to explain a spiritual reality. If God showed you things in the spirit, then the answer must be in the spirit. Not in your mind. Not in your head. Not in your imagination. Someone getting blessed today. So next time you pray, expect to see. And next time you see, stay there. That is an answer to what you saw. That's an answer to what you saw. Oh, glory to God. That's an answer to what you saw. Sometimes you might see a Bible verse. Yes. Sometimes you might just see a building. Sometimes you might see letters scattered. If I take this a bit further, maybe if God allows me, I may do that next week. But I think I tried explaining this a little at your neck sometime last time I was with them. I don't know if I can take it. I can be ministering now, right? Thank you, Lord Jesus. So I can be ministering now. And I see the number 2. And in my spirit, just like he played out in your neck that day, I just know that that number 2 would mean something about someone's birth date or birth month. Someone around this area. Do you understand? What it means is that someone's birthday here, and I'll tell you what that 2 means. Someone's birthday here is either 2nd or someone was born in February. Do you understand? Now, it doesn't mean every time I see those numbers, that's what it means. I'm just getting it from the Lord. From here now, who was born in February? February. Who was born on 2nd? Upon a second of each month. 2nd June. Yes, it's you now. So, come, let me tell you something. Now, are you following? Come, feel free. How are you? Now, it doesn't mean that every time you see the number 2, say, I saw what that did there. Every time you see 2, it means 2nd June. Why did God come to me with those numbers? Now, why didn't he just tell me someone was born on 2nd of June? Amen. On 2nd of June, right? This year. Do you remember? Where were you? I'll remind you. Amen. Now, why did God come with 2nd of June? Because there is something about 2nd of June and what happened on that his birthday, right? That has something to do with his future and where God is taking him to. When did you join this church? March. So on 2nd of June, that was your birthday. For some reason, you spent a lot of time praying on that day. Yes. And you are praying in your house, praying in tongues, and you are 2 things. You are asking God to use you. Yes? Yes. You are asking God to use you. And thank you, Lord Jesus.
And apart from asking God to use you, you are trying to see whether there was a calling upon your life and whatever that calling was going to be on 2nd of June, right? Now, and then that day you knew God was going to use you, but you're not very sure what this thing is going to look like. Do you understand? And there's one more reason why God mentioned 2nd of June, but that's not for today. Now, I just had to use 2nd of June to pick him out. Do you get it now? Now, I could be ministering now, and I could see the number 3. I'm just telling you how I know this. I may not be, if I'm ministering, I won't explain all of this. I can stand here and say, there is someone that was born in March, and the person is the 3rd child in his or her family. There's only somebody like that here. Do you understand? Who is the person now? Born in March, 3rd child of your family. 3rd child. There is one. Either 3rd child, or 3rd boy, or 3rd girl. So why are you, why is he looking like? Is it? Are you Abby? Okay. Why is he looking like? Are you second guessing? No. Why I like the way this is flowing is so that you understand when you see these things, you might not have all the. I get what I'm saying. You might not have all the. That's why you don't try to act like you're Superman. Do you understand? Don't try to act like Superman and say, you. No, you don't have to have all those details. Sometimes, what am I doing by saying, 3rd child, 3rd born, I'm searching. Where am I searching? My spirit that knows everything. We'll explain this further next week. Is that okay? But listen to this. God is going to use you mightily. I'm just answering the prayer that you've been praying. God is going to use you mightily. But I will tell you something about that on 2nd of June next year. So remember. Yeah, bye-bye. Amen. Praise God. Do you know, let me explain this, and this is very serious. Do you know that sometimes, because that's why, don't think that God is not speaking to you. Sometimes, God can be telling you so, because it happens to me, as a pastor. You know, I know my people very well. So there is always this thing of your mind telling you, are you sure you don't already know? You know it can happen. Don't fall for that trick. God can talk to you about somebody with something you know. I've been ministering one day, and God told me, look at this person's name. And my mind, I say, I know the name. And he used that person's name, the meaning of that person's name, to explain something that was happening to that person to me. I get to the point. So don't get caught. Don't say, I already know. Because if you're not careful as a pastor, but as a person, that have a small circle, maybe a cell leader, whatever. It's difficult to minister in the word of knowledge because you know virtually everything about the person. You know, somebody was sharing with me, one day we were having a Holy Ghost meeting here, and I think was it either Man Up or Start the Fire, one of those one of those meetings. And people were saying he was holding someone, because, you know, were prophesying to each other. I said he was speaking prophetically by the Spirit, just around there. By the Spirit, and he was speaking and speaking, giving details. He said that when he spoke to a point, he was like, let me even see who I'm talking to. He raised, because he didn't know the person, he was bending down, praying, and the person just came and held him, and he was talking. So it wasn't when he raised his face, it was somebody he knew. And everything he was telling the person by the Spirit, he knew in the natural. So he now looked like, are you sure it's not because you know? I get what I'm talking about. Because God can also tell you what you already know. So next week I'm going to say for that. Because next week I'm going to start teaching on, when I'm done with this thing, we're going to take this to talk about how to transmit this life of God from one place to another. How this life of God in you can be of help to your friend. I'm already showing you how. But next week we're going to see that much more. You can use it to help your friends, help your roommates, help people on the streets. So apart from you knowing this, your own personal life, you can help people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You know, someone was praying recently about the person's business. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Play the song. Hallelujah. For the Lord God Almighty reigns. Yes. Yes, you are holy. Are you Lord God? Almighty. Say, worthy is the Lamb. Mandala barande koshata la basobre de la. Manda barada la bashanda. Someone was praying about his business, and in your spirit you saw a hand that stretched forth to give you kind of a handshake. And the thing about the hand that was seen wasn't a black skinned person, a dark skinned person. It was the person's hand looked like he's not from this country. And the person was giving you a handshake. So why are you saying it? It's just for me to confirm to the person what she saw. Holy. Holy are you, Lord God?
Are you Lord God Almighty?
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Malanda baratabaya.
You are holy.
Say you are holy.
Holy.
Are you Lord God?
Are you Lord God? Almighty.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Mandala baradala kushandala.
Worthy is the Lamb.
Amen, amen, amen. You know, there is a God that knows you. He knows your future. He knows your past. He knows the current is good. He has the answers. Ooh, yadara go shandala basataya. Obarande shodela kreda bataya to sandala bay. Collaborations. Yes. Collaborations. Collaborations. Collaborations, partnerships. That's what the Lord is saying. What is the Lamb? Oh, yes. Now we are going to pray over any area of your life. You might not see anything. So that's why I don't try to see anything.
Remember, the key thing is that God wants to tell you something about what is happening. It doesn't matter whether you see or you hear or you know. So don't break your head about. I get what I'm saying now. Don't break your head about that. Just pray over a matter. And you will see that some of what you know in your spirit, man, will filter into your mind. Will filter into your mind. I don't know what it is. Tomorrow, or if God allows me, I'm going to give further details on how to channel this whole thing to different areas of our lives. If God allows me to do that tomorrow, I will. But lift your voice and just pray in the Holy Ghost all over this place. We are done, so just pray. Nobody's without help. That is a next step. That is a next step. That is a next turn. Some of you that are in difficult situations, just pray over it. You will know what to do next. You will know who to sack. You will know who to hire. You will know who to continue with. Babara de shata la brega de sonda. E baba rega liandro do sheta keke barandiash. Yes. You will know. You will know. You will know. You will know by the Spirit. So pray. Don't engage your mind. Engage your spirit. Do that by tongues. What is the Lamb? Woo! What is the Lamb? You are holy. Ah, you are holy. Are you Lord God? Are you Lord God? Ah, Almighty. Hey, what is the Lamb? And what is the Lamb? There's a mighty move of God's Spirit in this place. It's looking so normal. But many of us are charged up in the Spirit to see things. We just prayed now. Don't try to see. Don't try to hear. Just pray over the matter. Don't try to see. Don't try to hear. Don't try to do whatever. Just pray. Just pray. Just pray over the matter. You don't force it. It's the working of the Spirit. You don't do it naturally or mentally or psychologically. So you just pray. Some of you, the next ministry step is right there before you. The next career step is right there before you. Holy, holy, my God, we say holy. Who are you, Lord God, Almighty? What is the Lamb? Who? What is the Lamb? You are holy. Hey, you are holy. Who are you, Lord God? Almighty. We say, what is the Lamb? We say, what is the Lamb?
Lord. All creation, they call you Lord. We say worthy is your name. Yes, we worship your majesty. And we say holy are you, Lord. We say all of creation, they call you God. Look at that. We say worthy, what is your name? Guy, Lord, we worship your majesty. Who awesome God, how great thou art. And you are God. We say mighty, mighty are your miracles. We stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you. You will know what to do and how you will do them. And you are receiving strength to do them. But some of you, it's not a fresh knowing. It's something you've always known that you should do. But every time you make up your mind, you get weak. But now strength is being ministered by the Holy Ghost. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are the fire in me. You are the power at work in me. You are my ever-present helper. Holy Spirit, I adore. Sing one more time. Say, you are the fire in me.
You are the fire in me.
You are the power at work in me. Lord Jesus,
you are my ever-present helper.
Woo!
Oh,
Precious Holy Ghost.
Precious Holy Ghost.
Lift your hands in this place. I worship you. Come on. Precious Holy Ghost.
Precious Holy Ghost.
Oh yes.
You have your place in me.
You know, there are things the Lord will show you as you begin to walk with Him. I don't know why God is saying I should say that, but He will just show you because He trusts you. And they expect you to handle it well. Do you know that? Some of you already know. My heart was buckled 3 years ago. You remember the story? The part I have not really told many people in that story is that God showed me who did. The exact person. Now people know this. The exact person, the exact way. I was in a vision as I was praying, and then came to me, the name of the person is this. I pointed at the person. And I got up and said, Lord, what next? He said, do nothing about it. I just wanted to show you. But He gave me a scripture. He said, watch the end of the wicked. Until today, every time I see that man, I intercede for him. Because it's been a downward movement from there. There are things the Lord will show you and say, do not. I get what I'm saying. There are things the Lord should just because He trusts you. There are things God can show you about people. I just know it. He said, what? Say nothing. Wait to know. I get to the point. Just because He trusts you. There are people that the Lord will show. Ah, look at better story. You wake up the next morning, you go and stage a fight. Say, I know you are the one. No. And when the Lord showed me that, I got up and all the things added up. Everything that played out. How could the house have been boggled and broad daylight around 10 a.m. in the morning? And things as heavy as television and things were carried out, and nobody saw anybody walk out with it. Do you understand? Obviously, the person drove out. So everybody just came together. I said, oh, wow. And then he was working so, when I saw that he was working so hard to distract me, he was telling me, ah, my boy said he saw somebody that came in all that time. So when the Lord showed me that, as after like 3 weeks, I was not thinking about it. The Lord said, look at it. I said, oh. We should do nothing about it. But watch the end of the weekend. I tried interceding for him. There was recently I saw him around this place where he passed. I said, Father, please help him. I get to the point. I didn't pray no bad prayer for him. I think it's an accumulation of all his ways. Catch you. Say amen. And I'm saying this to show you. There are things God will begin to show you about. Sometimes in your workplace, you might even get to know that this person is the person trying to. That's why I told the story. The Lord may show you that this person is the person trying to usurp your authority or try to overtake you. And He will tell you, do nothing about it. Just watch. When that happens, please make sure God can trust you with such information. He can even show you. I've been praying and I've seen conspiracies. Like I've seen where people sat down and I could point everybody in that meeting. And I woke up and I told mom. When I woke up, I mean when I stopped praying. He said, what do you do? I said, nothing. Let's just pray. Leave it. Are you following me? There are things like that. I don't know who has that word. But please, it's for you. Please take it seriously. He can show you and just say, leave it. I just showed it for you to know. But watch what is going to happen. Watch the end of the wicked. You know the thing about it? God doesn't have much to do with the wicked. He doesn't have to deal with the wicked. He's too busy as God. What he's doing will catch up with him. It's the Bible. Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks. Yes. Sometimes just let people do their thing. Are you following me, friends? So we show you where to go. And what to do. You will never be confused. Once you start looking like that, just take to prayer. Just pray. You will see it. You will see it. And I may not feel that the Lord will show you a few things that may not really have any meaning. But the Lord is showing you so that you will know that he talks to you. Like when I sat down here to sing, all of that, someone already previously in the vision, the Lord already showed you in a vision where I was sitting down here and I was singing the exact songs I was singing. And when I saw that, I asked Lord, why showing me this? He said, because I wanted to announce it so that the person will know and confirm that I'm the one showing him those things. Are you following what I'm saying? That this God will show just to let you know that, hey friend, I speak to you. You're not thinking this, you're not guessing them. I am talking to you. Are you following me? From now, you begin to operate with these things. So, from time to time, we will teach on these things again. So that, you know, what I teach on this, you notice, what happens is, I wake you up to consciousness. It's always been there. Don't act like you are blind. Don't live a confused life. Always look deep. There's an answer in the Holy Ghost. Are you blessed today?
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.